You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Exodus, the 14th chapter. Exodus, the 14th chapter. Exodus 14. I'll be reading from the New International Version this morning. I want us to fix our eyes on verse 13. And we'll start there. Text says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." I got to read that one more time. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." In the way that Minister Lewis would say it, today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Oh, y'all know what type of service this is going to be today. 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." So for all of us that thought it was muddy, no. It was dry ground. I want you to skip all the way down to verses 24 and 25, and we'll finish here. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He, meaning the Lord, our God, jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt."
All right.
Oh, Lord, I thank you, God. Let us pray. Sovereign God, we come to you right now saying thank you. Thank you for this word that was just read. Thank you for the atmosphere and the spirit that you have set. Now, God, we look to you to hear a word that will help us grow spiritually, but also a word we can take into our communities, take into the workplace, take into the school place, take into the streets, wherever we go, God, that we can tell somebody that although we're in the fight of our lives, we can just let the Lord fight our battles. So God, we trust you now with this word. We trust you with every heart and mind that's in this place. And I just simply say, have thine own way right now, God. God, deal with me. Hide me behind the cross. Don't allow this earthen vessel you call Sean Birch to get in the way. Let your word be the focal point for everyone this morning. And I know, God, and I trust that somebody will be delivered. Somebody will be emancipated. Somebody will be set free. Someone will run down this aisle and say, "What must I do to be saved?" In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in this place. All right. So the subject or the sermon title, or I want to tag this text, the Lord will fight for you.
All right.
It's that simple. The Lord will fight for you. Need you to turn to your neighbor real quick. Got to make sure y'all turn to. Okay, yeah, y'all. Okay. Want to make sure you turn real quick. All right. All right. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor. The Lord will fight for you. Now I need you to find a new neighbor. I don't want you to look at the neighbor that you came in here with. I need you to find someone that you didn't come in here with. And I need you to give them the same smile you gave your previous neighbor and say, hey, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor.
The Lord will fight for you. All right, now that you talk to your neighbor, then you talk to another neighbor that you didn't come in with. Now I need you to find a neighbor that you got beef with. Yeah, that's right. You may have some beef with somebody. Maybe that beef existed for 5 years, 10 years. Maybe that beef just happened yesterday. Here at Spirit of Unity Baptist Church, we are going to take that beef, cook it, grill it, and eat it because we don't want that in this place. And I need you to look at that neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, you neighbor.
Oh, you neighbor.
The Lord will fight for you. Y'all put a lot of emphasis on that with the people you had beef with. Amen. The Lord will fight for you. Ah, the Lord will fight for you. All right. To build some context, in Exodus, the 12th chapter, Pharaoh tells Moses that the Israelites may leave Egypt because he wanted the plague or plagues to stop. I mean, Egypt got hit, but the last one was devastating to the Egyptian population. And so by Moses, and this happened in the nighttime, in the deep part of the nighttime. And now Pharaoh has had enough. And he finally releases, tells Moses that, look, the Israelites can go. And as we peruse even chapter 12, we will learn that 600,000 men, in addition to women and children. So we're looking at almost nearly 1.2 million plus people who leave Egypt. They were emancipated. They left free. They were no longer slaves. They were no longer bound. They were no longer tortured. They were no longer underpaid, in fact, not getting paid at all. They were no longer treated like less than. They were no longer treated less than human beings. No, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh finally tells Moses that your people can go. All 1.2 million plus or minus people can get out of Egypt because my population feels like if they stay any longer, we are all going to die. But isn't that just like God? God makes good on God's promises. God sends this man Moses into hostile territory. How many of you have ever been in hostile territory before? Look, y'all were all energized before. Yeah, we're going to talk about some hostile territory. And in hostile territory, enemy land, places where people necessarily don't like you, don't want to put up with you, but want your services because they too lazy to do stuff themselves. That type of hostile. I wish somebody in here would talk to me for a moment. We have been in places where folk have beat us up. Israelites have been in Egypt for 430 years being beat up as a people. And sometimes you get tired of getting beat up all the time just because of who you are.
All right.
I'm Sean Birch. All I can do is be Sean Birch. But yet still you want to criticize me, beat me up, tear me down, continue to have remarks about me. And you know it gets tiresome. It gets so tiresome, Brother Johnson, that we feel like you want to take, or I want to take, matters into my own hands. Y'all been there before? I don't know. You don't sound like you've been there before. Where you get so sick and tired of people keep on telling you about yourself, keep on beating you up, beating you down, hindering you, getting in your way, becoming the obstacle, making life miserable, that at some point you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and you feel like, I got to do something about it right now. Look, you've been hurting me for 430 years. I'm tired of this. You've been running my name through the mud. I'm tired of this. Where you get off thinking that you're going to tear me down, you're going to ruin my life. And if we want to react from our human perspective, we're ready to throw hands at any moment. Oh, y'all acting too holy in here this morning. You acting too holy as if you never raised your hands at somebody or put your hands on someone or put your mouth on someone because they made life miserable for you. They enslaved you with their tongues. They enslaved you by making you think you were less than. We have all been in a place where we quench and we thirst for freedom. Excuse me, we thirst for freedom, but folk are always blocking us. And the only way we feel that we're going to get our freedom is if we respond in the way that we need to respond to let ourselves free. And the good news for these people is that God orchestrates this whole thing. Don't you love that? When your hands ain't in it.
All right.
No, I need to talk to somebody that.
Yes.
Sister Sharon, when your hands ain't in it, and you know that you have witnessed the activity of God in every which way,
All right. That's
enough to make you shout. I don't got no shouts in here this morning. But if I can look back over the things that the Lord has done for me, then it makes me shout, because then I have to acknowledge it was not by my hands, but it was by God's hands. And then we come to the reality that there's nothing too hard. Oh, I wish somebody would pray with me this morning. There's nothing too hard for God. But see, if I put my hands on it, if I put my hands in it, things would get messy. It won't be clean. Because if we're honest, when we take matters into our own hands, it doesn't always end clean. It gets messy. Somebody say it gets messy. And so God provides freedom for God's people. And from my purview, they didn't have to lift a finger at all. And in this very act, God gets all the glory. Moses only warned of the plagues. It was God that made the plagues happen in the first place. When is the Bible telling you that when your enemy raises up against you, you don't have to raise back? You can step back and just warn them. Do not touch God's anointing. Jackie, in other words, you got to tell him, don't you put your hands on me. I don't even got to put my hands on you. I'm warning you. You touch me. Somebody should be shouting, because why? Somebody put their hands on you. Somebody tore your name down. Someone made life miserable for you. But you witnessed the hand of God move against folk that tried to bring you down. And all you can do is wipe tears out of your eyes and say, I didn't have to do a thing. God did it for me. The Lord will fight for you. That's good news.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to be the bearer of bad news. Because in this very chapter that we are lifting the text from, Exodus 14:5, the Bible says that Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds and decided to pursue the Israelites. They're like, what have we done? We let go of our free labor. What have we done? We got beat, and we got beat bad. And neighboring countries are talking about us. What have we done? Their egos now have got inflated. Now, to much to much of God's credit. What God does, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, what God does is that God hardens Pharaoh's heart. God does not take free will away from Pharaoh. Are you with me? But God merely just hardens the heart. How many of you have had a hard heart, but you didn't act on your hard heart? Because there must be a God in heaven. You don't want to talk to me this morning. Let me put it this way. When you wanted to do this or that, oh, I wish I had some praying folk. When you wanted to react the way that you used to react, you didn't do it because God had God's hand on you. It's possible to have a hard heart and not react or do anything because God is working on you and working through you. Pharaoh still had the ability to make the decision himself, whether he wanted to pursue the Israelites. And even then, even now, the Bible educates us and tells us that he made that decision on his own. God just sets the scene. It might be on my heart to do, but I still have the choice to go do it.
All right.
You know, you shouldn't have cussed out that person last week. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. I might be talking to myself, but you know you should not have cussed that person out. You had a choice. Your heart was hard, but you had a choice to let God do what God does best. Pharaoh had a choice. He did not have to pursue the people, but his heart was already hardened, and he gave into it, and he decided that I'm going after the Israelites. Pharaoh is pursuing the Israelites. The Israelites at this point, before they even know Pharaoh is coming, they happy. We free.
Yeah.
They free. What do? When you think you're free. And you celebrate it. And the enemy decides, I'm going to take that back. 430 years of going through the worst seasons of our lives. Generations after generations dying or being abused and being tortured and being misused. And finally, we're told we could be set free only for somebody to decide we're going to take your freedom back. I know what Sean Birch would do. I'd pick up a sword. I can't do it no more. I finally got a taste of what freedom feels like. And you're asking, not even asking, you're coming charging with your army. And this wasn't no small platoon. This was a massive army. Remember, you had about how many people? 1.2 plus or minus million Israelites that left with Egypt's wealth and cattle. They sent a massive army. Now, one of two things happening. We killing you all, or we gonna take you all back. And the ones that ain't coming back, you good as dead. A fight was about to happen. How many of you have ever been in a fight, actually? Any of you? Be honest. God will not strike you down. Be honest. You all know how that moment feels when you get ready to get into a fight. I mean, your head is hot, right, Deacon? your head is hot. I mean, you're a little bit nervous too. Because part of you like, what did I just get myself into? You're not sure if the opponent, you're not sure if it's a one-on-one fight or a five-on-one fight. You're just not sure how this thing is going to go down, right? Fights in the moment make people nervous. We don't really know the outcome, but we know we have to do something. Because in this moment, going back into slavery is not an option. You would think that the people, the Israelites, would be ready to fight. But that's not what they do, Reverend Smith. Instead of preparing themselves to fight, instead of getting hot-headed or nervous, instead of them clenching a stick or a sword or whatever, they turn to their leader and say, why in the world did you take us out of Egypt? They accuse the leader. Now, a good leader will calm them down, right? A good leader would try. But I'm going to tell you, if I was there, why are you accusing me? Did you not pray for 430 years that God would free you or send somebody to help you leave? Then when God does the very thing that God said that God would do, now you want to complain because it looks a little bit troublesome? How many times have we got nervous and scared when we're in trouble and we want to blame God and say, God, why did you bring me here? All right. Well, I'm going to tell you why. I brought you to this particular location between the desert and the ocean because it's an impossible situation for you to get out of. Okay, God, I hear you. Yeah, I heard impossible. Why did you bring me here, God? I brought you here because the situation is impossible and I knew that you could not do nothing about it. Well, God, you're right. I can't do nothing about it. I got this army coming. They about to take us. Why did you bring us here, God, to be slaughtered? I'd rather go back to Egypt. We got so many people that are free that want to go back to Egypt. God, why did you bring me out of Egypt? God brought you out of Egypt because God brought you to the impossible situation, not for you to be afraid, not for you to cower, not for you to act like you don't have no trust or no faith in God. God brought you there because God is like this. I knew if I brought you here where it looks like you have no hope to survive, that when you do survive, you can't take the credit or the glory, but when I get you through it, my God, you're going to be praising me because you know that I brought you to the impossible and I got you through the impossible. I wish somebody in here would just testify with me for a moment. How many times were you in a hard place? How many times were you in a place where you could not get through? But then all of a sudden, God does what God does best. Get you to it and get you through it. You didn't do it by yourself. You didn't do it because you were cute or you look fly. You made it through because God did it. God simply put us there not to torture us. God did it so that we will know that the Lord our God gets the credit and the glory and the honor. Yeah. Yeah. How many times have you cried at night? How many times have you accused your pastor of misleading you the wrong way because things got hard? How many times have you cried out to God when things got hard and you felt like it should be better? Have you ever considered that if God brought you to a hard place, that the same God that brought you out can get you through another obstacle as well? Have you considered that God wants you to remember what God has done for you time after time again? Have you considered that? Oh my.
It's for God's glorification and not man's glorification. God wanted to make it ever clear that regardless of Pharaoh's power, God's power is clearly greater. And beyond the complaints of the people, God had already had a solution. And even in the midst of the people accusing Moses, Moses tells the people, "Do not be afraid." A good leader will know how to be chill in the moment. Some people in Spirit of Unity will often ask me, "Pastor, why do you seem so calm?" Well, after pastoring for 14 years almost, and after dealing with folk not only in the church but outside the church, you know, because everybody ain't called to be a pastor. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why. Because everybody doesn't have a lot of patience with other people. Oh, y'all don't want to clap? Y'all should have been shouting, "Praise God that I got a pastor that is patient with me." Because there's some pastors and leaders that are not patient with their people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all. I'm just saying. Better thank God for your blessings. Because everybody can't be patient. Some folk would appoint themselves as pastors, say that I'm called to be a pastor, even though they know that God didn't call them to lead pastor or even pull a sheep. Uh-huh. But the moment that things get hard, some leaders will cower as well. Some leaders will panic as well. Some leaders will act like they don't know what to do, but you better thank God for a praying pastor. You better thank God for a pastor that won't lose his cool, because I know how to chill. I know how to just chill now. I used to get nervous and upset. I used to get upset about if I was going to upset someone else or if they were going to leave or if they weren't going to like me. But now God did touch my heart and said, "Boy, chill. I'm just chilling now. I know how to trust God in the midst of the fire. I know how to trust God in the midst of the pain." And all I want to tell somebody right now is that when it gets hard, you rest on Jesus. When it gets rough, you rely on Jesus. When it gets tough, you just chill out and let God be God. Is there anyone in here that's ever been there before? And if you haven't, just lean on God. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I can't help but continue to keep smiling, because that's just how good God is in my life, and I hope it in your life as well. So this good leader Moses says, "Look, do not be afraid." And so in light and in wake of Moses saying this to God's people, you know, he didn't jump back and say, "Why are you accusing me?" In the artful words of our dear brother Harold, who is gone with the Lord now, he used to say all the time in that corner, "Pastor, get off my mule." Y'all didn't hear that? And he said mule, which meant donkey. And donkey meant something else. Oh, I miss him. I miss him. No, I didn't get those responses. Yet and still, Moses says, "Do not be afraid." He tells the people there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to worry about. You realize that? If your leader is not panicking, why are you? The reason why we get our churches in trouble is because we decide to panic and complain when the leader ain't even panicking or complaining. Then people are like, "Why is the leader not panicking and complaining?" Because we got God on our side. And if you have ever been in a situation where you know God has been on your side, what do I have to complain? complain about? And what do I have to worry about? Because the Bible tells me that I can cast all my cares on God and on the Lord. And I know that the Lord will fight our battles. So good leader will tell his people, do not be afraid. And not only just a good leader, but I also believe it. I have to believe a good Christian mentor would tell others, look, this is not the moment to be afraid. In fact, Moses says something here that I really want you all to write down, and I need you all to get this in your spirit. Moses says this. Not only does he say, do not be afraid, but he says, stand firm. Stand firm. He says, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Moses didn't say the deliverance that the Lord will bring you tomorrow or in a week or in a month. Moses was so chill that he said today. You just have to be that confident in the power of God that you will never put limits on God regardless of your fears. Uh-oh. We ought not put limits on God because of our fears. God's power overrides our fears and the worst fights that we will ever get into. And so Moses declares that all you got to do is stand firm. Stand firm. If you're able, stand up. Standing firm. I want somebody to stand up. Just stand up if you're able. Stand up. Standing up can also have other forms as well. Standing on your morals. Standing on the word. We are all standing. I need you to stand firm.
Somebody. Yeah, that's right.
Because if you stand it firm, I shouldn't knock you down. Because if you stand it, and he's giving some resistance, I want you to know. Don't take him as an older guy. No, this man's strong, real strong. Pushing on him. He's giving resistance. The enemy is looking to go around and push you down when it gets hard. Are you going to be a pushover, or are you going to stand firm on the word of God that will give you the power to stand in any crucial moment? You got to keep your feet planted in the word, and it's your feet and your toes. You know how your toes dig in the sand when you're at the beach? I need you to dig your toes in the word of God so deeply that even the enemy can't push you down. Y'all can sit down. The enemy wants to push you down. The enemy wants to ruin you. The enemy wants to mess you up, but you got to stand firm. You got to stand firm like a soldier on the battlefield for the Lord. It looks scary. It looks impossible. I hope you realize that's the type of battles God loves. Not because it brings fear to you, but it brings glory to God's name. Moses says that if you stand firm and you don't get moved or persuaded by the enemy's movements. Oh, did you catch that? Sometimes we get out of our character because we see how the enemy moves towards us. I don't like how the enemy is moving towards me. And so now I feel like I can't stand firm anymore. Because if I stand where I'm at, I might be slaughtered and killed. But the leader reaffirms that you will be delivered today. That the enemy won't even put a finger on you. That the very Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. Don't you know that song that tells us trouble don't last always? If Moses, I don't know if Moses was a singing man. But essentially Moses was saying when he told the Israelites, the same Egyptians that you see today you will never see again. Moses said, trouble don't last always. Because when we got a Lord that can fight for you and fight for us, All we need to do is just be still. Don't open your mouth. Don't lift up your hands. Don't move and get shifty because the enemy is moving. All you got to do is be still and let God be God. You don't got to worry about it no more. Hakuna Matata, it means no worries for the rest of your days because we have a God in heaven that will continue to look out for us, who will continue to lead and guide us, who will protect us. But what I love about God is that God ain't scared of nobody. God will fight for me and God will fight for you. And so all you gotta do is just trust and have faith that God will do what God says God will do. And when you stand still, you're gonna see miracles happen in your life. The people stood still and Moses did what God instructed Moses to do. Moses raised up his staff and his arms. And when he raised them up, we also know that he stretched them out over the sea. And the Bible shares that the sea divided and God caused the wind from the east to come through and divide the waters. And this was going on all night long. I got happy. Why? Isn't it interesting that Pharaoh set them free at night in the first place? And here we go, God bringing the wind that will be one of the tools of their freedom at night. What am I trying to tell you? In the midnight hour, God will still set you free when it don't even feel like you're going to be set free. And so God causes the water to divide. And not only that, he makes the ground dry. He dries the ground because God knew if the ground was still muddy, then the wheels would get stuck. The animals would have a hard time getting through. The people would be slowed down by the mud. How many times when we relied on other people to be our deliverance and we still were slowed down by the mud in their lives? But God shows us in this text that if you trust me and you lay all at my feet, that I'm going to give you dry ground, that ground that you'll be able to run across, that ground that won't trip you up, that ground that won't make you're stuck. And so the people kept on moving and they kept on going. I'm telling you, when you trust God, and we stand still, God will show us miracles. Don't you know that all the people were making it over and making it through the Red Sea? But also, we also realize that not only do they make it through, but the enemy pursues them as well. They pursue them and they pursue them hard. God's still working out miracles. God will fight for you because when you're still moving forward and not looking back, God is taking care of the battles that we possibly cannot win. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward. The Lord will fight for you. How does the Lord fight for you? For all those years, the enemies confused the people's minds. All those years, the enemies made the people believe that they were no good. Good slaves, and they weren't worth anything. But this time, as they were in their chariots trying to chase down the people to take them back or kill them, God threw confusion on Pharaoh and Pharaoh's army. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that when the enemy has a clear mind and they want to destroy you, God will throw confusion in the midst so that they will get distracted and give you enough time to get out and don't get hurt. And because they were confused and messed up, we know the end of the story. The people made it. Pharaoh and his army didn't. The people rejoice. Pharaoh and his army didn't. The Lord will fight for you. And when the Lord fights for you, God finishes it all the way through. God doesn't do anything halfway. God doesn't do a portion of the fight. God does the whole fight. And so now here we go. We are in the ring fighting for our lives. On this side, we got Satan and all your problems. And on this side, we got old little us. And old little us can't handle it. But behind us, we got nothing but the Almighty. Nothing but the indispensable God. But the most powerful God standing right behind us. And God says, sit down, son and daughter. I'm going to step in the ring for you. And the announcer just simply says, let's get ready to rumble. And so now when the fight is on, you're sitting down watching what's going on. You don't have to have a scar. You don't have to have a bruise. You don't have to get hurt because God is is taking care of it all. And so because God takes care of it all, I am going to sit back and watch my God defend me, help me, change me, shape me, mold me, take care of our enemy, because only God can do it. I can't do it. And so when we had the greatest enemy called the sin problem, God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus was the answer to the problem for all of humanity. And because he shed his blood, that precious blood, that powerful blood that washes away our sins, Jesus didn't stay in the grave for long, but he rose up with all power in his hands. What did Jesus say? When you think you knocked me out, surprise, you didn't knock me out at all. I was still fighting beyond the grave. I'm still fighting right now. I'm still doing what I gotta do for God's people. And you ought to be glad that the Lord will fight for you. You ought to be glad that the Lord will fight for you. You ought to be glad that the Lord will fight for you. The doors of the church are now open.